We've talked about a great many different things having to do with the home and the family. And Lord willing, next Sunday afternoon, it'll be the early afternoon service, we will have one final lesson entitled, What Our Children Need. This evening, I want to talk to you about the fact that God hates divorce. The full title of this lesson, I suppose, would more properly be, Teach Your Children That God Hates Divorce. It was a little more than 20 years ago as I stood at the back door of the church building one Sunday morning where I was preaching at that time. One of the teenage girls who attended services there came up to me and she was a little bit upset. She said, would you preach a sermon about divorce? Well, that's a little bit of a strange request to get at the back door. But I told her that I would. Later that week, we learned that her mother and father were getting a divorce. And right then, I realized two things. I realized, number one, we don't teach enough about the subject of divorce. Number two, I also realized that probably, no matter what I said, her mother and daddy were still going to get a divorce. You see, the reality is, in this nation today, about half as many people get divorced in any given time as get married. That's a frightening statistic, and it is a statistic that has been growing for a long time. Marriage and the family is under attack. The forces of Satan have taken upon themselves or taken up the image of, as Paul says, angels of light, but they are not angels of light. But somehow, a frightening number of people in our nation today, in fact in our world today, believe that divorce is just another one of those things that happens. I'd like for us to focus our attention on the book of Malachi tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn there, and we're going to be looking at some things that Malachi says here in chapter 2 of the last book of the Old Testament. Shouldn't be too hard to track it down if you know that it's the one that comes just before Matthew. So if you'll join me there, and I'll call your attention first of all to verse 16. God, of course, is speaking through the prophet Malachi. And Malachi says, "The Lord, the God of Israel, says that He hates divorce and him who covers his garments with violence. So guard yourselves in your spirit and do not be faithless." Some of your versions may say treacherous there in the place of faithless. Some say covenant breakers. Some say do not break a trust. All of those say basically the same thing and different words that convey the same basic idea. Malachi was probably contemporary with Nehemiah. They both ministered to God's people and preached God's will and word to the people who had returned from the Babylonian captivity. The time period that this takes place would put it at somewhat near the time period of recorded Old Testament history. God's people have gone back or have come back into the promised land, the land that had been promised to their forefathers so long ago and that their forefathers had been delivered into by Moses and Joshua. It was the land that they had lived in throughout the period of the judges that we studied this morning, and the time period of the kings and the divided kingdom. And of course, the kingdom of Israel had been carried away by the Assyrians, never again to return and assemble as a nation of people. The kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom, was carried away into Babylonian captivity, and now Nehemiah, Malachi, Ezra, and others have taken up the task of ministering to God's people as they have come back into the homeland. They've been through quite a lot. Generations of captivity, living in foreign lands under foreign rulers, in a foreign culture. They have picked up a lot of habits from those with whom they lived. They have laid aside a lot of the things that they had been taught through God's will throughout their history. And I'm sure it was no small task on the part of Nehemiah and now Malachi to guide and lead those people in the way that God would have them to go. There were several problems that become evident when you read the book of Malachi and others of the minor prophets that ministered in that time period. But among other things, there was a great problem on the behalf of the priests, the worship leaders. In fact, Malachi describes one of their problems is that they have defamed the name of God. They have promoted a sense of worship that was foreign from what God wanted. In fact, they had profaned the worship in advocating the use of diseased and sick animals, the lame and the blind, to be slaughtered and offered as sacrifices to God. They were struggling with a major problem with divorce. It seems that many of God's people had laid aside God's will for marriage. Many of the men had found foreign women who were more pleasing to them than their own women. And they were divorcing their wives and they were marrying these women from strange lands. They were guilty of robbing God with their tithes and their offerings. "Wherein have we robbed thee?" they said. God said, "In what you're giving, you're robbing me." They appeared to have lost the ability at times to make a distinction between those who were striving to please God on the one hand and those on the other hand who were rejecting God as having no business and no part in trying to help them be better people. Challenging times. But the problem that we want to look at tonight was the problem that they were dealing with divorce. Our discussion here tonight is not a discussion that will take place from the standpoint of trying to condemn and look for problems and point out the errors that any people here may have made. Don't misunderstand me. If anyone is guilty of sin, they need to repent. Whoever it is, whoever we are, if we have sinned, we need to straighten that out with God. But it's not our purpose to examine every person here in this group and look at your marriage and look at your history and evaluate your marital situation. No, our purpose here tonight is preventative. Thus the title, Teach Your Children That God Hates Divorce. In our discussion tonight, I'd like to give you five or six reasons that I believe we can pull from this text here in Malachi chapter 2 for why God hates divorce. Number one, God hates divorce because it is contrary to His original plan and design. You remember in Matthew chapter 19, in fact, if you'll turn over there, we'll read a few verses. Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse 3, The Bible says the Pharisees came up to Jesus. They tested him by asking, "Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause?" He answered, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man separate." But they said to him, "Why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away?" Jesus said to them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery." God's original plan, God's original design, one man for one woman for life, with the exceptions of death and adultery. Divorce, as we see it today and as they saw it in Malachi's day, as it began to go through the land in a frightening pace, was absolutely contrary to everything that God had ever wanted. The putting away of wives and husbands, the dissolving of marriages, the separating of families is not in harmony with God's design, with God's plan. And so, that's reason number one. Reason number two, God hates divorce because it is a violation of covenant vows. In verse 14 of Malachi chapter 2, Malachi says, or God says through Malachi, "But you say, why does he not? Because the Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth." Read your original wife. God was witness to you, between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. By covenant. A marriage is a covenant. It's not just some casual agreement. It is a covenant that is overseen by God Himself. In fact, it's interesting to note and to remember that there are three parties to the covenant of marriage. There is God, there is man, and there is woman. And when any of those leave that union, the covenant has been dissolved. The covenant has been broken. God is not pleased with broken covenants. If anything is held up throughout the history of God's dealing with man, it is God's expectation that covenants be kept. Divorce is a violation of a covenant vow. Number three, God hates divorce because divorce is often brought on by lust. That was the case, you see, in Malachi's day. The problem seemed to be that the men of Judah were looking and finding women who were more pleasing to them, who were more attractive to them than the wives that they had. And so they said, "We got to get out of this marriage here. I've got to be freed up so I can go after that better looking woman, if you please." It's amazing at some of the euphemisms that are offered these days. A euphemism, you understand, is a word or a series of words that's used in the place of something that sounds a little bit softer, a little bit easier to take. And so instead of saying, "Well, I just decided to leave my wife," a good euphemism for that might have been, "Well, me and this other gal, we just fell in love." Instead of saying, "I'm going to get rid of this old woman I've been married to for all of these years," You might euphemize that and say, well, the wife and I, we've just been drifting slowly and slowly apart through the years. Sounds a little bit easier, doesn't it? Instead of saying, I'm just not going to stay with this woman. You might say, well, I've found this other woman and she just really understands me. Those are all euphemisms. They're euphemisms for the fact of becoming dissatisfied with what you have and lusting after that which you don't have. Don't ever forget that the seed is lust and the fruit that it eventually bears is adultery. God hates divorce beyond a shadow of a doubt whenever it's brought on by sin. We could also learn from this passage that God hates divorce because of the treachery that is involved. If you'll look there in Malachi chapter 2 in verses 14, 15, and 16, you'll find that word treachery in most translations. In the English Standard Version, it's faithless. One translation that I compared this afternoon was covenant breaker or trust breaker. The treachery that is involved in divorce. I cannot speak firsthand to that. I do know for sure that there are some within this number who could tell us firsthand of some of the treachery that's wrapped up and involved in a divorce. Attitudes, thoughts, and words that would just bring tears to your eyes. When you think about some of the things that are done and some of the things that are said, some of the violations of trust that are often wrapped up in that package with what we call divorce. God hates divorce because of the treachery involved. Number five, because of what it does to a nation. You'll notice there in verse 11 of Malachi chapter 2, he addresses Judah. In other words, he's not talking to just a little small segment of people. He's talking to the entire nation. Divorce had become, in Malachi's day, a national problem. I think it'd be accurate to say that divorce today in the United States of America has become a national problem. There's an old saying that we sometimes observe, as the home goes, so goes the nation. And all you have to do is look back over the last several years, couple of generations, and you'll see the illustration of that. You'll see that it's perfectly true. With the degeneration of the home and with the destruction of the home and family unit, you see the moral fiber of the nation take a direct hit. You'll see things become less and less important on a national level because of the degradation that takes place with the home. It's in Proverbs 14, verse 34, that God's Word says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Number six, God hates divorce because it cuts off fellowship with Him in so many cases. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that every single person who's ever been divorced is no longer in fellowship with God. That's not the point. But it was a valid point to say that so many in Malachi's day were no longer in a right relationship with God because of their divorce problem. And we could say today just as surely and just as truly that anyone who dissolves a marriage and then enters into an unscriptural marriage has a fellowship problem with God. Fellowship with God is so very important. Fellowship with God is something that can be hindered with some things that the world tells us today that are just ordinary, everyday things. An unscriptural marriage puts one at odds with God's will. If I'm at odds with God's will, what does that say about my relationship with God? I don't suppose we would have a great deal of difficulty in following through the logic of that reasoning regarding many, many other things, many, many sins that could be named. We wouldn't hesitate to say that a man who insists on living his life as a drunkard certainly is not in fellowship with God. We wouldn't have a problem with saying that a man who insists on spending his life as a thief, certainly, as long as that problem continues, can't be in fellowship with God. But in the past years, few generations, God's people everywhere have had more and more difficulty in taking a firm stand in the same way in the matter of an unscriptural marriage. God's Word is not difficult to understand. It's not so complicated that we wonder where we stand. It's not so technical that we just don't really know whether we're safe or not. It's simple. It's clear. A divorce that leads to an unscriptural marriage takes one out of fellowship with God. Some of these things that we've talked about recently have not been pleasant things to talk about. I understand that they're not pleasant to listen to any more than they're pleasant for me to talk about them. But they are important things because they are things that have to do with some of the most important aspects of our lives. Our families are so precious. Everything that we can possibly do needs to be done to secure the spiritual future of our families. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand together.